illustration was going to be about Operation Christmas Child, saying get in now and finish it off, but you've got an extension. Ash and I packed ours last night, and it felt really pretty insignificant to us, actually. We didn't really do much. We went out and shopped, packed the boxes last night, and so it feels like such a small thing to us, such a small, insignificant thing. But to the child who gets that box, how much value is in there? How much love and care? How great a significance it is to the children who receive it? And we might feel this way about the passage this morning as we look through it. It sort of seems pretty insignificant. It's short, it's simple, but there's some really great truths there, especially in the small details. So we're going to look at four significant details from that passage that John just read. So number one, the man has a serious skin disease. It starts off with Luke 5:12. While he was in one of the towns, that's Jesus, a man was there who had a serious skin disease all over him. He saw Jesus, fell face down and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Because this man has a skin disease, according to Jewish law, he was to live outside the community of Israel until he was healed. Then he would go through that really quite annoying ritual of Leviticus to make sure that he was fully clean, that his skin disease had in fact left him, that he was cured. Leviticus 13:45 says, "The person afflicted with an infectious skin disease is to have his clothes torn and his hair hanging loose, and he must cover his mouth and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' He will remain unclean as long as he has the infection. He is unclean. He must live alone in a place outside camp." If you had a serious skin disease, an infectious skin disease, you were isolated. You were cast out. You had to live outside the camp of Israel alone. I get cold sores. I always have since I was a child. I was going to put a slide up, but it was just it was too gross. I couldn't do it. But whenever I get a cold sore, whenever one comes up, I go into isolation mode. I become super careful to isolate anything that I touch to make sure that I don't pass it on. And you know how kids are really dramatic about things? I was super dramatic about it when I was a child. Like I would be watching all the cups that I used and all the bowls and making sure that my brothers and sisters didn't come anywhere near them. And I remember one time one of my brothers was reaching for a cup that I thought I had used, and I'm like, "No!" But anyway, I isolated myself. I made sure not to share junk food with them, bowls that they were eating from. And Jewish law did the same. It was for the protection of everyone. But to those people who were unclean, who were unwell, who had a skin disease, it must have been horrible for them. Can you imagine living like that for years? Living alone, isolated. Not being able to go into the town unless you tore your cloak and called out, "Unclean, unclean," had your hair hanging loose. But more than that, you couldn't actually go into the temple. You were technically outside of the presence of God. You couldn't go into the temple to be near God's presence. This man could have been isolated for years. And it seems like he goes to Jesus because nothing else will cure him. Jesus is his last shot. And so the way that he approaches Jesus is quite helpful for us. The man approaches Jesus with humility. This is significant detail number two. He treats Jesus as a slave might treat his master, or as a person might treat a king, or as a person might treat God. He falls down on his knees, shows humility and respect, and begs him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." This man probably thinks that Jesus is a prophet. He probably doesn't think that Jesus is God, but he recognizes Jesus' authority. Jesus is able to make him clean, to make him well. So he begs Jesus like he would beg God, because Jesus has the power of God. He doesn't bargain. He doesn't say, "If you make me clean, I'll do this and this and this." He just lays it out before God and says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." But before I was a Christian, I sometimes fell into the trap of treating God the completely opposite way. Without humility, without respect, going to God with my demands. Sometimes I'd ask God to prove he was there. Or I would commit, and if he did, then I'd commit to reading the Bible or going to church or being more engaged at church. But it was always about something super trivial, though. I think one time it was about winning races at a swimming carnival. Like, I was trying to get God to make me good enough to beat everybody else so that I'd be liked and cool. And then I changed something about my life for God. I wonder whether you've ever done anything like that. You want something from God, so you enter negotiation mode. Well, God, you do this, and then I'll treat you with a bit more respect. Or you do this in my life, and then I'll listen to you and turn from my sins. Maybe you've asked God for good health, good grades, a certain career or a certain job, that you'd attract the interest of a particular person, or that God might mend or restore a relationship that's broken. If only you do this, God, then I'll trust in you. Or if only you do this, then I'll do this. But God is not someone who should be bent or twisted into fulfilling our wants or our demands or our desires. And this man knows it. He humbles himself before Jesus, before God. He sees that Jesus is from God and he resigns himself over to God. God will do what God will do. Will God heal me? Is he willing? If he is, he can make me clean. He gives himself over to God. There's no bargaining. There's just asking, appealing to God and his mercy. I hope this morning that you're challenged by this man's approach to Jesus to do the same. To give yourself over to God, not to set conditions or expectations about how God will treat you, but to let God be God. Give yourself over to him. Live for him. Let him provide for you. And that's what this man does. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus' response is the next significant detail. How will Jesus respond to this man? Jesus responds with compassion. Verse 13, reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing, be made clean. And immediately the disease left him. Then he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus first touches the man, this man who has been isolated for perhaps years. Jesus touches him. No one does that. No one, as their hobby, likes to go around and touch people's diseases and infections. In fact, if I'm walking around on the train station or see somebody walking, if I see somebody just coughing a bit, mostly a little bit, but sometimes if it's really severe, I'll just sort of slightly turn and subtly walk away from them, just because I don't want to catch anything that they might have. Who likes touching people who are diseased? Or being close to people who are sick? No one. Because we don't want to catch it ourselves. Jesus touches the man. While we all would stay away and keep our distance, Jesus approaches. He's the friend of the outcast, of the person who's isolated, of the person who's technically unclean before God. He's willing to provide what's needed, and he genuinely cares for the man. He says, I am willing. And the disease leaves him. Jesus has compassion. Probably the greatest thing, though, that Jesus does for this man is not healing his sickness. It's actually making him clean before God. He's now able to enter the temple. He's now able to be where God's presence was said to reside. This is good news for us. Jesus has such compassion. He has compassion for the weak, for the undeserving. He legitimately cares for all. Because all of us, without Jesus, are unclean before God. Not that we have a skin disease, but we're sinful. We've failed to live by God's standards. Jesus is the only one who can make us clean. He literally makes this man clean of his skin disease, but he makes us clean of our sins by his death on the cross for us. And who does Jesus care for? Whom is he willing to make clean? The people that come to him. Whoever they are, whatever they've done, whatever they are like, Salvation is for everyone, all whom God will call. And Jesus is willing. He has compassion. He makes this man clean in relation to others and in relation to God. This is good news for us and for salvation, but it's also a challenge. Will you show Jesus' love and compassion to others? Will you take that on yourself and treat others the way that God has treated us? A little while ago on our youth group camp, we were looking at the heart, and I was challenging the youth to have their hearts shaped after God's heart, so that they would be shaped by God and have hearts that would honour him. We looked at Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and I was challenging them to produce these characteristics in their life. These are the characteristics of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, etc. And I was challenging them, how will you show these characteristics in your relationships with others? I actually did a similar thing to what Joe did in the kids spot this morning. I actually got people to stand up, like youth group leaders, not kids, and I described somebody who was totally not the youth group leader, and saying, how will you love and care for them? So how will you love and care for the people in your life that you know? How will you show them Jesus' love and Jesus' compassion in the way that you relate to them? The annoying co-worker who is always right, who always has something to say about how you're doing things, who just gets on your nerves just a lot. How are you going to show them love and compassion and patience? How are you going to show your Christian faith to them? Or will you hide it? Because it's hard to love them. The parent that always knows what is right and always showing how good and how wonderful their children are on social media that just irks you. How are you going to care for them? How are you going to show them Jesus' love and compassion? How are you going to be patient and kind to them and share the gospel with them? Or maybe what about the person that is just hard to get along with? It's hard to speak to them. They have different interests to you. How are you going to talk to them? How are you going to care for them? Will you show God's kindness and God's compassion to all? Will you pray for them? Will you talk to them? Will you spend time with them? Introduce them to others. Invite them along to things. Will you welcome them and share your life and your faith with them? Jesus does that for this man. He welcomes him, the outcast, the outsider. Jesus touches him, and he's willing to show compassion and care for him. Will you do the same? Another significant thing in Jesus' response is his words to the man after. And you see in verse 14, Jesus tells him, don't show yourself to anyone except for the priests. Go to them, offer the sacrifice you're meant to sacrifice for your cleansing. And there's a reason for this, which is that Jesus wants to focus on the preaching. The message of forgiveness is way more important than physical healing. He wants people to know they can be saved if they trust in him. And so Jesus wants to reveal more about himself over time, but he wants to do it gradually. He wants to show that he has power over the whole world to show that he's God. But he wants to do it in a slow way. So he wants this man to keep quiet for now. The man is told to go to the priests to obey the law. Jesus wants the priests to know that Jesus is obedient to the law and wants people to be obedient to it as well. But he also wants the priests to know that there's another way to be clean than offering sacrifice. The way to be clean is through Jesus. Jesus makes this man clean. And he makes us clean too through his death on the cross for us. And the last significant detail is verse 15 and 16. The news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. News about Jesus spreads. People are coming to him to hear him preach and be healed. But Jesus withdraws and prays. It feels a bit of a weird contrast, doesn't it? Because you just heard Jesus' compassion. He's willing. He wants people to come to him to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus also withdraws and spends time in prayer. I want to firstly mention and reiterate what I said a little bit earlier. The miracles that that Jesus does and that are recorded for us in the Gospels are to teach us. So in the miracle that we just heard, Jesus shows that he has compassion. He is kind. He can make people clean. And he's willing. Clean in relation to others and clean before God. And so when the Gospels were recorded, they wrote down those particular miracles to teach us about Jesus. And that's why Jesus does the miracles. But it also shows us that Jesus needs rest. He too needs rest and refreshment. And he needs to spend time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. He needs to be empowered by God for his ministry. And he does that through prayer, through time out, through rest. And we know that prayer does so many things. It's talking to God. It's thanking him for what he provides and praising him for who he is. It's asking for provision. God, I need this. Or for God to act in a situation. But I know that often when I pray, God softens my heart for his mission. And I end up praying for the things, not that I want, but what I think God wants me to pray about. So it orients my life and turns my life back towards God's purposes and his plans. Right, remember that if you're a Christian, you're called to be a part of God's mission too. Remember, Jesus' mission is our mission. When Jesus departs the earth, in Matthew 28, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So we're called to that same mission, to tell others about Jesus, help people to follow him. And I know that when I'm spending regular time in prayer, I am more switched on to that mission than when I don't. I wonder whether it's the same for you too. That's why Jesus prays. He spends time with God. It orients his heart and points him to God. I know that when I pray, I'm more keen to share my faith, more keen to live for him and have his purposes and plans in mind for my life and the way that I live. Jesus, who is himself God, needs to take time out to pray. He journeys away to deserted places to pray. So we need to do the same as well. How will this change your life this week? Will you find times to go out and pray, to chat to God, to open up your heart and tell him how life is going, and to ask him for the strength to live for him and to be part of his mission, to do the things that you need to do to honour him? We're going to pray in a moment, but here's a... we've lost the last slide. Here's a summary of our significant details this morning. Significant detail one: the man has a serious skin disease. He's isolated. He's unclean before others and God. Detail number two: the man approaches Jesus with humility. He doesn't bargain with God, trying to convince God to act. He just gives himself into God's hands. Significant detail three: Jesus responds with compassion. He cares about the man. And so we know that God cares about us. He longs for all people to come to him. Will we do the same? Will we long for all people to come to Jesus? And lastly, Jesus withdraws to pray. Will you spend time in prayer, asking God to help you as you're involved in his mission? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way that you healed this man, that you show your compassion and your kindness. We ask that you would help us to have that same humility that this man had, that we wouldn't bargain with you, but that we would give our lives into your hands, knowing that you are God. We ask that you would help us to respond with compassion to those around us, to put on the fruit of the Spirit, to love others as we have been loved by Christ. We ask that you would help us to spend time in prayer, and that through that, you would help us to orient our life to your plans and purposes and to be involved in your mission of making disciples. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.